Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting Podcast. Visit our website at oalaig.org, where you'll find several speaker feeds with over 800 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed in the Light a Candle Podcast are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, George R. Yay!
Thank you for the step up here. And did anyone catch her say, I need to order some chips? Because that was what got me in the room, was ordering too many chips. So that's a rough phrase for me, but thank you for ordering chips. All right, George, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much, Mary Pat, for asking me to be here. And I'm struck by Anne, what you read, and then the different shares for the people that got 30 days, 90 days. Nobody soars in on the wings of victory to a 12-step room. And so I had to lose a lot. I had to really be beaten into a state of reasonableness to be willing to get the 30 days, to get the 60 days, to actually walk in this this room. I grew up as a pretty thin kid, so I know the West Side meetings are a little different than most other places. I just didn't, part of my story wasn't, my mom taking me to Weight Watchers at 9 years old or getting made fun of at school. I was pretty thin. My three siblings were pretty thin that just, I didn't really know anything about 12 steps. So get married real young at 22 and live life and, gain a little bit of weight just like as life has gone on. But then, maybe late 30s, my metabolism just kind of changed, but there was no announcement. What I needed was on the bottom of like ESPN for the ticker at the bottom for it to say like, hey, your metabolism is stopping on Friday, so you got to mix in a salad or something. But it didn't. And so I would ask my wife like, what's happening with our dryer? Because I feel like it's overworked. The way that it's, some of my BPTs are kind of pinching on the sides, and I feel like something's messed up. Like, I just had no idea that I was eating more or less the same and gaining, 90 pounds. I just kept gaining weight, and I didn't have the tools to even see what was happening. And so I played in a co-ed soccer game. I'll spare you just the 5 years of what probably most people experience before joining a group like this, which is like not eating when you're standing up and not eating on Fridays and doing only keto and doing like I try that all too, I stepped on a scale and saw 275, and still that wasn't enough, but then I was playing in a soccer league, like an adult soccer league. And again, I got married at 22, so I just turned a really large number that has a zero at the end that's like 28 years later than 22. And so you have to take off. So I was the goalie, of course, because that's what you put big people at. And so you had to make sure that everybody's jewelry was off. And so my ring wouldn't come off because I was 275 and I was probably, 190 maybe when I got married. And so, the referee said, you can't play. And I was like, well, look. And then my finger would turn all purple when I would try to take it off. And then he said, there's a jeweler in Glendale that'll saw it off. And so, I don't know if that started my time to lose weight journey, but a jeweler having to saw off my jewelry, and then he had to resize it, and he said, hey, you want to know how much I need to put on? I said, what? He's like, I need to make it 25% bigger to fit on your finger. So from that moment on, I heard somebody talk about getting sober in AA, and that obviously isn't exactly the same thing, but the more she was talking, the more I thought the desperation in her voice and the way that she was so kind of beaten down reminded me of food, like the way I was with food was. The way I am just naturally with food is the way she was sounding like alcohol was kind of taking her down. And so so I decided to come to one of these meetings. I Googled, what do people do that can't stop eating? And this this group comes up, gladly or not. And so I go to a meeting, and I go to I probably went to 6 meetings before I met a male. And then finally, a grandma told me there's a meeting in Studio City at 7:30 in the morning on Sundays that has a couple more men there. And so I went to that and then heard someone, in essence, tell my story, and I asked that person to be my sponsor. And so what I'll say is what I'd love to say is that I got a sponsor, I worked the steps, I did the whole thing, and worked great. And so I got a sponsor. I did what he told me to do, in essence, more or less, for the next month. And then I do not know to this day why, and I just kind of ghosted him for the next 3 months. So I don't know what was getting so difficult, but I just kind of left. The third person that gave me a compliment that, like, my neck looks skinny, my brain, like, short circuits, and then I decide to just, like, stop doing whatever's working and pivot to something else. So then started gaining a little weight because I self-sponsored, which is a good bulking up method. And then so I go back, tail between my legs, and I ask him to be my sponsor, in essence, again. And then from that moment on, what happened was I became flush with the fact that I have a problem where when it comes to food, I can't do what I say I'm going to do. So if I say I'm going to do this for breakfast or this for lunch or this for dinner, or even like, hey, on the day I'm going to have, let's say it was calories or whatever the thing was, I lack the power to just do it. Just do the thing I said I was going to do. Something shiny, I see a squirrel, I remember a thought, I smell mint, it doesn't matter. I will change the rules on a dime and by the way, when I change the rules, the answer is always I get more food, just so you know. I'm never pivoting for, like, honor. I'm always, I'm pivoting for a world where the only answer while getting on a plane is a Twix. Like, so I always win in the scenario where the rules change. So what happened was I picked a sponsor, and then, you know, I've been now in enough meetings that I know, okay, everybody's going to give up, all flour, all sugar, all whatever, you know, all whatever. And so I would say, all right, are you ready? Like, okay, so am I giving up everything? And he would do this, like, conniving laugh to me and say, buddy, I don't know if you can do one thing you say you're going to do for a week. Like, why would we give up 1,000 foods? Like, why don't you do this? Hey, buddy, just text me anything you eat in the next week. I don't even care. Have sugar all you want. Let's just see if you can do that. Let's just see if you can I just want to see if you can do what you say you're going to do before I waste time, like, giving you a time slot in the morning to go through the big book. So let's just start there. And so I was like, all right, well, okay. So I start doing that, and then I do the program as he lines it out. And at this point, we're not really going through the steps, we're not even going through the big book. He's giving me a simple task. And I can say now, looking back, like, I can't believe this day how difficult it was for me to just follow through with my commitments. I was great on big picture or 30,000 feet or what does it all mean, but he would just say, like, hey, I'd tell a big story to him when we were talking. He'd be like, hey, so did you do the thing we said today? And for some reason, the calculus in my head made it make sense why to not do it like that. And he was like, it was just a lot of Charlie Brown's teacher talking into it. He was just asking, it's A or B. You either did it or you didn't. And I was trying to make it a moral issue. And what? And he's like, hey, did you do the thing you said you're going to do? So then I kind of slowed down and then started realizing that he's asking me to do really simple things. I'm making it complicated. So he asked me to report all my food. So I did that. And then at some point, you know, I don't know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, he's like, all right, let's, now that he saw that I could say I'm going to do something, now what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at foods that have wrecked you through the years. Like one of the reasons you got 275 is probably there's a couple of foods you probably can't handle. But he didn't presuppose that it's all the same ones that he has, or it has to be 1,001. So he said, let's see, what's the thing, get as granular as you want, what's the thing that's kind of wrecking you the most? And I wish it was sexier, but it was a hot chocolate at Starbucks. So it was just kind of like, it worked at all points of the day, and there was always a reason to have it, and I couldn't stop at just one, and so whatever, that was the thing. And so he said, all right, let's do this week, it's that. That's your only alcohol, is that. I don't care what else you have, but just let me know what it is, and then we kind of went from there. And so that was the first week I was abstinent where I didn't have that, even though I was still having a bunch of other stuff that now I can't have today, but still, he was like, let's not put the cart before the horse. Let's not write our acceptance speech before getting nominated. Let's just do this. And then let's put our alcoholic food list as like the absolute most important thing. Seconds or how you eat. Like that's, we can work on that. You don't have to be perfect here. We got to be kind of moving towards something. And so he put the alcoholic food list as like completely the top, like alcohol for an alcoholic. And so for some reason that clicked. And so then little by little, it was like, all right, now what we're going to do is we're going to have your dinner is going to fit on a plate. So we're going to have it just, I don't care what it is. It just has to fit on a plate. And then it means it ends at some point. There's no, like once that's done, you don't go to seconds or whatever. But also you better commit to whatever it is beforehand. You don't get to put a little bit. And then if I'm in the mood later, like, your mood is not going to be consulted in what you eat going forward. And so this was really helpful for me because it started the process of admitting powerlessness and getting the biggest problem out of the way, which is me. So my brain doesn't work around my food. It just doesn't. It works great for your food. It works great. Like I could, if you ask me a question, I could give a sensible answer. But there's like a calculator in my head that picture like a junkie who if there was a junkie out in front of your apartment and you asked them like, hey, how much meth or heroin did you take in the last 5 days? And they were like, well, I think I was good yesterday, but the day before I took some. You wouldn't believe, you'd be like, there's no way this guy's doing math. Well, that's how I am with food, is that I'm, my brain doesn't work. It just, it'll always get more. I'll put in my head that I am feeding an orphanage in Uganda to, like, this cheesesteak sandwich I'm having is a Mother Teresa-like service to mankind. Like I will connect the dots to where it's always like for the good of humanity. Or like, hey, what if I pass out because I don't have enough sugar and then my daughters don't get a ride home? It's always like the world is such a better place because of every candy bar I had. So my sponsor gives me some very simple direction. I just start doing it the best I know how. And then what happens is we get to, okay, now I'm fitting food on a plate. We finally get a first list of like 5 alcoholic foods. So if you're brand new, some people have a problem with a specific food item. It either creates an allergy of the body where you have one and then you have this compulsion where you just can't stop. Once you pick up, let's say, a Ritz, you have no idea where the footage is going to lead. or there's an obsession of the mind where maybe you're good sometimes and it doesn't really create an allergy to the body, but I lost a food pretty recently where I was so focused on it and I was trying to organize what time of day I could have it, and it wasn't big enough for a meal, so I needed to make sure I had it right before bed because at lunch it wouldn't tide me over to dinner, but if I had it right before bed, then I got to bed. It was like I was spending way too much time in thought on it. So the only reason a food item would ever go on my alcoholic food list, and I would never put it there. My sponsor is basically the Supreme Court, and then I go to him as an attorney with, let me lay out the case for why I can no longer be trusted with granola cereal. Here are the, and he, I would say 20% of the time, he would actually allow it to be on the list. He actually, because for the most part, because I'm new at this, I was looking for a non-spiritual answer to a spiritual question. So I was, as long as I just kept getting rid of food, that's the answer. Whereas he's playing chess and I'm playing checkers, and so I would say, well, I can't be trusted with bread because let's say I had too much of it or whatever the thing was. And then he would say, all right, we're going to line away this week. This is a little bit of a gimmick. Why don't you just have it once per meal or once a day, or what he would like change the rules, whereas I wasn't the one, just I had a bad experience with the spam that's on the list. It wasn't, for whatever reason, like it wasn't that easy for me, and I just can't run this for myself, or I just kind of bulk up. So that was really new and very very difficult to not be in charge, because of course. Not be in charge, because at this point, I mean, you're in charge of your food. Like, right? I mean, you're not eight, and your mom's not feeding you probably, you know? So this was a real jump. So then what happened was I put down, so now I have this list of alcoholic foods, and I'm not in charge of how it goes on there. And then what happened was if I wasn't able to tell the truth about a food, it basically was all the info I needed for the fact that I can't be trusted with it. Guess how many times I've lied in the last 7 years about blueberries? Not once. Chicken, not once. Omelets, not once. Like, but every, so now I have 30 items on my list. It was five. And because my sponsor has kind of drilled into my head that what I say, in essence, just doesn't matter. Like, the food that's actually on the plate is the question that I'm going to get. Not was what was my intentions at the beginning of the day. You know, it's not, did you shop at REI? It's, did you actually go hiking? So, did you actually go up the hill? So, all he kept asking about was, like, what actually went on the plate? And in a lot of cases, early on, I'm trying to lose weight. I'm still taking pieces from every article, every TED Talk, every well-intentioned aunt that just gave up sugar. Like, I'm taking everything that's being said and trying to create my own little thing. And then my sponsor would say, did you follow through with your commitment? And a lot of times when he, like, so at a certain point, because I had trouble telling the truth, and I would undersell or oversell, so I would give a little write-up at the end of the day, okay, here's what I ate. And then, but there was ways I could make it look better or worse than it was. And so then I heard somebody, I think it was at the OA birthday party, explain they take a picture and send it. So it's like, ooh, great, I want to get out of the decision-making business little by little. So what if I just took a picture and then you just have the data and you would see it. And he'll tell me if it's too big or too small. And so what's funny now looking back is that the only times he would really ding me on my food was all when it was too small. So he would see I was trying to lose weight quicker. I was I was basically not doing, hey, I said I'm going to have this, and I now have this little dainty portion of it. And he would sniff it out, even though, so shouldn't you be happy I'm having less? Isn't this the point of this? But it was like me changing the rules in either direction. I just wasn't awake to that. So cut to, I get to where I'm doing the program the best I can. I've got a list of things I can't have, and I'm meeting with my sponsor each week, and he's starting to take me through the big book, and we're doing two pages at a time. But yeah, I just got completely just enraged. Like, it was so hard to put down the food. Whoever's, hopefully I don't scare anyone in their first like 60 days, but like when I was about 4 months abstinent, I guess I just walled myself off with ice cream or cookies or something else because I was very raw. Like I had no defense for rejection or kind of things not going my way or perceived slights. I kind of couldn't handle it. I could have never predicted that walking into an overeater zone, because I figured, okay, if I was a heavy alcoholic and I'm not going to drink anymore, I may have to change my friends. And I figured that sounded harder than just, well, I just need to like eat more sensibly, or maybe I give up sugar or chocolate or something. But when I put down my substance, I was exposed. And to this day, I just felt almost like blinders were taken off my eyes. But it's not like I was smarter. It was like blinders were taken off my eyes, and I stuff was just affecting me that it wasn't. If I would just, like, let's say my wife would reject me in any way, I guess I like had three bowls of cereal and watched some sports. Like I had a method that just sort of, I guess, worked for 20 something years. And then, when I put down my substance, I just didn't see it as like giving up cocaine or giving up something that, oh, that would be a withdrawal. But when you took away food, I mean, it was my best friend. I mean, it was, crushing. It was crushing. I was not prepared for how difficult it would be to put down my substance. All right, so we're maybe now 5 months in. I start seeing a therapist for the first time. Like, I start, like, needing to sort out some things. My sponsor's asking me to, like, answer questions at the end of the night. And in some cases, I'm able to see patterns of things I'm frustrated by that I, you know, nobody asked me, what's keeping you from peace at the end of each night normally? But my sponsor had a certain system of prompts and questions that I would answer each week. And then I was going through the steps as well. And then what happened was, probably for, just to be real, maybe for probably 9 months, I sort of hovered in the lost 30 pounds range. So I'm getting compliments. You're looking great, all this kind of, but I definitely knew I was still overweight, and I didn't feel like I had. When people come on stage and they take their 12-year candle and they're talking about making amends and forgiving people, I was still like, what size my oatmeal should be. My life didn't sound like how they were kind of on to the next thing. They were looking at people as perfect children of God trying their best, and I was not. And I wasn't sure, I could just tell that I was, something was blocking me from what they have. So then, again, I don't know why inspiration strikes or why I'm, like, why you were willing to go to a meeting today when maybe 3 weeks ago you weren't, but for whatever reason, I thought the willingness seems to be a really high value to the people I respect. They all seem to say, like, without willingness and surrender, like, we have nothing to offer. So I was willing to see, like, is there kind of a next step that I should take. And so someone shared a meeting about being honest. And by the way, I think Anne shared it at the beginning. It's like rigorous honesty, to be honest, inventory, like moral inventory. There's the mentioning of being honest is all over the place, but I don't know if I heard it. And so one summer I just decided, all right, I'm going to try this month to be completely honest. Cause we're friends here. We can talk off the record. It's not being recorded. Oh yeah, it's being recorded. But I knew that a candy bar was no. I knew my alcoholic food was a do wrong. But for some reason in my head, it sounds stupid like saying it out loud, but there was still a little math equation where me switching out an apple for like a little thing of oatmeal is sort of like not telling your spouse about a surprise party for them. It's like, I'm not telling the truth, but this is for everybody's good. I'm kind of still helping mankind by this switch. So there were these little switches that in my head made sense. And so then one summer I decided, somebody said something in a meeting and I said, all right, let me see if I can be just like violently honest for 1 month and just tell the complete truth. And I swear to you, to this day, I do not understand this, because I promise you, I was not eating 35 more pounds of oatmeal, blueberry, apples. The math does not line up. But I just became just like deathly honest when it came to my food. And over the next 6 months, let's say, maybe a little bit more, 35 more pounds flew off. And so now I'm 6'3", 205. I mean, now I'm getting to where I don't understand the story. I'm still eating a ton. I feel like I'm eating a ton. And also, when you do the program, 85%, you might lose 30 pounds real quick. You might stop throwing up. There may be some positive change. Just like if you all of a sudden only drank diet beverages. Like, probably there'd be like a little change that would just happen. So I can look back now and say, I was doing the program the best I could, about 85%. And then when I shifted that last 10 to 15%, I got out of the way. And then I get the life, in essence, my sponsor has. And it just, I to this day, I just don't understand it. But a bunch of weight more flew off. And then as we went through the steps, and then as I made, you know, step one, two, and three is kind of just getting on board with my life's unmanageable. I don't have the power to handle life and the substance that I'm in the room for. And then being open to turn your life over to God, and whether God is actually Jesus in the sky, whether God is the God of your understanding, whether God is the we of the group that you're in the room with, whatever. It could be a butterfly on the lake, but it's not you. And it's, and then the third, turning your will over to that. So now it's not, it's just not you that's running the ship. And then, so a lot of people that have been around for 30 years aren't really great at those first three. They're still kind of like holding on to, like, I still have some ideas. Then 4 through 9 are actually like kind of work. So in essence, I was asked to go through, you know, steps 4 through 9. And so there's a system, your sponsor walks you through it. Don't have a workbook and do it by yourself in your house. But like, I wrote down it ended up being 60 people, places, or things that have kind of like done me wrong, or I had a problem with, or resentments, and then I wanted to write 100 pages on the first name on that list. And then my sponsor was like, nope, you're going to write the same number of words for that first person as this person in junior high that made fun of you once, that you don't even remember his last name. You know, like, that person gets the same space as the person you despise the most. And so It's like, all right, I understand it. So, and then you work through these columns. Again, this is all through, if you turn around, like 4 through 9. But there are these columns where you kind of work through, like, is this affecting my pocketbook? Is this affecting my self-esteem? Is it, like, what is this really needling? What is this person needling? And then it's not a bait and switch, but by the end I'll tell you it's really focused on you and like kind of what it says about you and what you bring to this. And so, no kidding, I go through the steps. 58 of the 60 character defect on my list was the same one, and I couldn't have told it to you the month before. So in essence, the probably the worst thing about me that the steps would unearth, I was unawake to even what is going on in me. And I'm thinking, no, I'm telling jokes. I'm trying to be a good dad. I'm high-fiving my friends and wife and what, like this can't be true. And so thank you. So then, and just for, is that 10 minutes?
There's 10 minutes left.
Perfect. Here's what I'll say about when you don't have any idea what your character defect is. When you make an amends at that point to the people that are closest to you, the violence of their tears will tell you that you probably really did affect them in these things that you're bad at. Like, they knew it. It's just, I wasn't ready to... I wouldn't have been able to answer on a Scantron test. This is my problem. But the violence of... I'm not going to say who cried the most, but talk to my wife if you're curious how that went. So it was very difficult to just not be able to do what I said I was going to do, to keep adding things onto the list of foods because I just couldn't be trusted with. There's a whole bunch of foods I just can't handle, but I didn't have to know it. Today, I don't have to know the one I'm going to give up 6 months from now. I just, if I have the courage to be honest today, I get this unbelievable life. It's as easy as that. So I have a sponsor that walked me through this. I had the courage to tell the truth, which took me a bumbling 2 years, I would say, to get to where I was even able to just be honest. And so when I would take a 90-day chip or I would take a 6-month chip, it was like, wow, this is like crazy on it. And then now when let's say I gain weight, because once you lose a bunch of weight, you can't eat necessarily like you ate 80 pounds ago. I can go to sleep at night great because my sponsor has all the data. He can look up. He doesn't look like every meal like one by one. But what will happen is, let's say I gain 3 pounds 1 month or whatever. He has all the data. So he looks back, scrolls through, 90 pictures, scrolls through it all and says, how many times do you think you had French fries this last month? I'll be like, I don't know, 4? Nope, 25. You know, it's like, I don't even know. And so, all right, let's try a month without that, and then I lose a bunch of it. So all that to say is I'm not in charge. The 12 steps that are right there, unless they've added one, none of them are figuring it out. So, So you having the knowledge of like how this all works, again, I swear to you, I can't explain the last 35 pounds. I wasn't eating 35 pounds worth of extra food, but my, again, junkie math, I can't figure this stuff out. And so when I think about the people that have what I want, the people that truly seem different, and it doesn't mean just because they're like over 10 years of abstinence, but they're kind of like, they're in like the fourth dimension. They're forgiving people for things that I'm still holding on to. A lot of it seems like they've fired themselves as the CEO of their food choices. They're out of that business. They're out of that business. So, today I was watching a nephew in Temecula play this like Little League All-Star game. And so I look at, and the clock says, you know, it's like an hour longer insane traffic everywhere. So it's like, okay, well, I went from being able to eat lunch with a fork, sitting down somewhere, to now it's on the road. Well, I have one meal that I eat on the road. And there's a system that we have in place. My sponsor was like, you get this salami and these carrots and this and that and that. And it's in every grocery store. And I go in and I get it. And it's 5 minutes. And I'm eating while I'm driving. And it's great. And it's like, I went from making like 1,000 decisions about food a day. Honestly, at 275, I'd never had less meals. So I would not have lunch, not have breakfast, not have dinner, and still gain weight because I would have like 7,000 calories worth of snacks at night. I mean, it was such a mess. So now I'm having really big meals. I don't get cheated out of them. And I'm just not in charge. And so now my choice is, do I have an apple or a banana for snack? It's not what exciting thing in a restaurant. I know which restaurants have my stuff. I thought that would be limiting and it would stink to kind of always have an idea, but I cannot wait for the meal I'm going to have later tonight. If any of you said, hey, I'm going to pay for your dinner at this restaurant, I would say no. I'll go and I'll high five you, but I want to go eat. I'm so looking forward to my salad. And I remember hearing people with a bunch of abstinence day stuff like that, and I was like, you're mental. I would drive a different road to work than home just to like get some variety. And, you know, variety and vagueness and not telling the truth, it got me so big, and I would snore so bad. I would sleep on the couch because my wife would wake me up every 20 minutes, you know, because I'm, it wasn't good. And so, another thing what's changed is, I don't have to know, how anything's going to turn out. All I know is that if I'm of service, if I'm, there's a bunch of tools that if you're curious kind of like how to make it from 90 days to 100 days, like what do people do? I just started asking people when I got serious and when I got honest, when I went from 85% to 100%, I all of a sudden needed my sponsor desperately because I didn't have the experience. I was still kind of taking the edge off. And once I couldn't do that anymore, wait, what do you do when you're in this position? And he's been there. So he would tell me. And then, oh, okay, now I'll do that. I remember, I don't know why this was so confusing, and maybe your sponsor set it up differently, but when dinner would end, you know, taps would play and I would be so sad and it would be crushing that like dinner's over for the night and this is the worst. It used to be so fun to have dinner in because it was like, who knows what's going to happen the rest of the night? Oh, it's the worst. And so it would end, and I remember going to the Hollywood Bowl one night, and that was just so confounding. Like, what do people do? You know, there's like those 5 shows a year where you're not allowed to bring in food. And so it was one of those nights, God bless you, Bjork, and we couldn't bring anything in. And then I called my sponsor, was like, what do you do when your dinner's over at 6, but you're going to be up late? He's like, all right, why don't you take both your snacks and then have them at 10:30? It was like, what? You can do that? Like, I had no idea that there was any variety. He's like, you get to eat 5 times a day. It's a miracle when you stop all 5 times, but I don't care what order, you want to eat both your snacks and then have a salad and then your dinner at night. I don't call it meal 1, meal 2, meal 3, call it snack, but it was like, oh, you can do that. And then also another thing that was a tool is, you know, let's say there's a bar owner and he's an alcoholic and he realizes he's going to get sober. Obviously, like, uh-oh, this is probably going to be a hard thing, or he's going to have to change jobs. So I thought my life was set up not around food. Like, I didn't connect to that story at all. Like, in the big book, when the guys go golfing and there's drinking when there's golfing. Like, I didn't feel like my whole life was surrounded with food. And then, again, 2 kids, a job. So it's like, I had no idea that I'm going to be handed 25 pieces of sheet cake this year. No questions asked. Won't buy one, but I'm just going to get handed because I'm in community with people. And then I'm going to have a list of issues that come up where my family knows me as somebody that if they need something, dad will go get it. And so I like being known by that. But once I would finish meals for the night and then somebody would need, hey, your youngest is getting out of prom, can you go at 2? I was always up for that and I was always the person to do that. And I realized it was because it was always an out to go get a Snickers. It was always an out to go get ice cream. Like I had this whole world created for trash cans that had wrappers that nobody in my house knows are thrown, you know? And so it got really difficult to unwind all the fantasy football drafts that were thrown at this cookie shop because, oh shoot, that's right. I'm the reason these cookies are, I'm the reason that the mamas and the papas pizza, it's like put on a truck, you know, in a car shows up to these parties that I'm at because I've always just wildly overeaten and everybody's kind of like been a part of it. And so, one of my takeaways that I wish when I was like 30 days in, somebody would tell me was, I needed every morning to wake up and to have some idea of what my breakfast is going to be. So I've either needed to do a purchased it the day before and had the eggs and the sausage and everything in, or I need to know if there's an IHOP or if there's a Denny's. And then honestly, the most powerful thing that's happened in the last 5 years for me is just go to bed. It's not a fair fight with me and food at a certain point of the night. My wife knows, my dog knows, my daughters know that I got to tap out because the disease is more powerful than me. Not every night, but there are times when it's too much. And so just making sure I know what breakfast is going to be that next day and pivoting but actually eating it with a fork sitting down and then having an idea of like, can I go to bed at like a certain point after dinner? That's allowed me to at least make it 6 years. So thanks so much for